Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. The Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act, enacted about a year ago, is meant to improve the national school lunch program as American children face an obesity epidemic. Dr. Janie Thornton, the Deputy Undersecretary for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, coming to Michigan this weekend to speak about the topic and the challenges involving improving the diets of our school kids. And she joins me now. Welcome to the program, Dr. Thornton.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
I remember my school lunches, those delicious greasy tater tots, a cheeseburger that almost put me to sleep, washed down with some chocolate milk. Was that really a bad meal to have?
Well, let's just say we've made great improvements over the last number of years, and I think thanks to our new meal pattern that will soon be released, meals will even be better.
So what are we talking about when we talk about improved meals? How dramatically different are they now?
Well, strangely enough, I guess, we've got a number of districts around the country that are already meeting what the recommended new meal pattern might look like. Because we're in the final stages of writing the regulations, I can't say what the final regulation is going to be. But generally speaking, our initial proposal would be to increase whole grains in the diet, see that we have more fruits and vegetables on the serving line for kids, decreasing sodium in our meals, decreasing sugar and decreasing fats.
How many calories is the typical school lunch now, and how many calories should it be?
Well, that is going to vary depending on the age of the child, as well as the physical activity of a child. In the neighborhood of 600, 650 calories, it may go up to 700, and it may be fewer than that. Again, depending on which grade range that you're looking at.
You know, I remember there would typically be options. I mean, there were always options to have some produce or some veggies, but obviously the better choice at the time appeared to be these tater tots. Is part of the program going to be removing certain items from school lunches that are now there?
Well, we're not going to necessarily remove items totally, but try to help kids to eat variety of foods. Our meal pattern is based on the Dietary Guidelines for Americans, and we had just the newest guidelines released last year. And the items that I mentioned earlier are the very items that are being encouraged or discouraged, depending on which group we're talking about, as a part of the dietary guidelines.
Little Debbie snacks. You know, back in the day, a quarter would buy me an oatmeal cream pie cookie, although I can't say I've touched the stuff since. What about today? Aren't candy bars and other sweets readily available to kids in school?
I would say that varies dramatically across the country. I came to D.C. from Kentucky, and we have not had those kinds of foods in Kentucky schools since the early 90s. There are many states that have made some pretty strong competitive food regulations, and that's the kind of food you're talking about, would be the competitive foods.
I'm talking to Dr. Janie Thornton, the Deputy Undersecretary at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Now, lunch is just one meal in a day that may involve a sugary breakfast, after-school fast food visit, a heavy evening meal. Isn't the problem of obesity in children really based on how they eat away from the school?
I think, interestingly enough, the problem with obesity here in this country is a problem that is everybody's problem, and it's one that is caused not just away from school, not just in school. I think people are so readily, they often want to just point a finger to see it. They figure out what it is and want to point a finger at whatever that group is, when really it is a societal issue today.
Although it would be fair to say that our obesity problem is not based on what kids are eating in school for lunch, right?
No. But not just what they're eating at school at lunch, absolutely not. Now, needless to say, if a child went through and the only thing they ate was something that was higher in calories, and even if it were lower in nutrients, that would not be good.
Soft drinks, they're blamed for playing a big role in our obesity epidemic, especially the sugary stuff. Don't many schools have dispensary machines in the buildings, and is that something that really should be banned?
Well, many schools probably do have them in the facilities. I would say by far the majority of soft drinks are found at the high school level. I have not seen any elementary schools that have vending machines with sugary drinks or snacks available to kids during the school day. You do have more of a tendency to see that in some schools at the high school level, but there are a number of states, Kentucky, West Virginia, Texas, just to name a few, that they are not allowed to have them during the school day in schools.
And the act is called Healthy Hunger-Free Kids. And, you know, it's a lot of people don't think about hungry children. In fact, you know, when you look at our obesity epidemic, it seems like kids are eating too much. But how much of a problem, and about what percentage of American school kids are, in fact, not getting enough food?
Well, we have probably nationwide, right at a third of the children come from homes that struggle to put food on the table each and every day. It depends from week to week. Sometimes children have absolutely nothing to eat for more than a day. That's one of the reasons we have worked hard to try to increase meal service in a number of school districts. And the school district is the one that determines, based on their student population, do we need to offer breakfast here at school? Do we have a substantial number of kids that may not get breakfast at home?
I want to ask you, we've had generations of school kids in America eating school lunches. When this epidemic of obesity began to unfold, was there a change in our school lunches at that time? Was there a higher calorie intake also?
No, there was not. Our eating habits as Americans certainly changed in the 70s. That's when we started seeing many more folks that ate out much more frequently. I meant, when I was growing up, this will show my age, you know, we ate out maybe four times a year or five times a year, it was not like on a regular basis. We have kids now that are growing up in households, and again, not just low-income students, but students from all economic backgrounds, ethnicity backgrounds. We have kids that eat out literally every night.
In terms of the change that we're seeing here, is this one of the most dramatic changes we've seen to our national school lunch program since its inception?
I would say so, yes. And this is probably the first real reimbursement increase we've seen in about 30 years. There has been a small cost of living increase that's gone along. But this year, when a district meets the new guidelines, they will get 6 more cents for every lunch that they serve that meets those guidelines.
One last thing. Is there any food industry pressure on the department when it comes to these changes, in the sense that, I mean, probably some things that would be advisable would be maybe to reduce some of the red meat intake of kids, not make it a daily meal for them? Is the industry concerned about some of the changes that are being proposed?
Well, there are always going to be some industry folks that are going to be in opposition, and I think part of their opposition is just because they don't know what's going to be coming. Even though we put out the proposed rule, we did have 130,000 comments plus on the proposed rule. So I think it's that fear of the unknown. We obviously have no intent of demonizing or trying to ruin any segment of industry. We have some people in school districts right now that are really nervous about what's coming out, again, just because of the unknown. So we know that to make change in America as a whole, we can start with schools, and hopefully once we get kids so that they understand they're responsible for their dietary intake, that this will begin to spread. So as we're lowering sodium in foods at school, then that can trickle over so that restaurants will soon start to also lower sodium. People at home, people in manufacturing. So it's going to take everybody working together to get us on a better, healthier track down the road.
Well, certainly one thing that is known is that our current eating patterns are in fact leading to widespread obesity. So some change is hopefully going to help. Dr. Janie Thornton, the Deputy Undersecretary for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.